three glorious events. I'm looking for the first one myself. And the second one will certainly take care of itself when it gets here. Amen. I appreciate you being here. I missed you last Sunday. And missed being with you and being able to preach here. And there's no place like home. I'll be honest with you. You know, as a pastor, oftentimes I know because I've been guilty of it. And I am a pastor. But so many times I think we get a little guilty of finding all the negative points about our people in the church that we pastor. And letting that trouble us a great deal. You know what I'm saying? And it's really good to get out every now and then and be in a Sunday morning service. Get a totally different church. You can see exactly who are the members of that church at that time. And really what kind of a spirit and what they're doing in the church. And sometimes it really makes you thankful that you've got a church to come back to when you leave that. That's the case. That is the case. Thank God for the Island Board Baptist Church and our people. I mean that with all my heart. Thank God for you for the privilege of being your pastor these 12 plus years. And I hope the Lord will let us all go out together and meet Him in clouds and glory. All of us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just speak this morning and we just lift up out of this building? Somebody listening out there that's not saved, they may say, "Preacher, that's a fairy tale. That's a myth. That's a story." Old men and women, you know, to comfort when they come to die. Well, that is a story to comfort old men and women when they come to die. The truth of it is, it's a real story that will come to pass. And I thank God for the truth of this book, my friend. There's nothing like this book. I'm talking about this Bible. There's nothing like it. And it's just full of great blessing. Well, we're going to be in Song of Solomon again today, chapter 2. And closing out chapter number 2, this will be the last message that I'll preach out of this chapter. And it doesn't really seem to go with what really the spirit that I feel in the church this morning. But it's where we're at. God knew where we'd be at a long time ago when we started in this book, preaching through it verse by verse. And He knew that we'd be here today and knew what your spirit and attitude would be today. And so we're going to do our best to follow the leadership of the Lord. Okay? If you found that, if you can stand, stand, and let's read our text together. This will be the last time now that we'll read the second chapter. We read the entire, from the verse 1, as wherever we start in the chapter, and as we continue, we read down through the verse that we're preaching from. And that'll be the case this morning. Verse 1, the Bible said, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word to our hearts today and give us grace as we stand and try to preach. May God help me to preach this morning as a dying man to dying people. That's right. And may God help me to preach this morning as a living saint to living saints. And may God help me to preach this morning as a man of God that's been called and anointed by Him and enabled to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to your never-dying soul. Let's look to Him. Moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for the good services that we've enjoyed, the good time of fellowship, the good Sunday school hour that we was able to hear. Thank You for the good singing, the congregational music, the special music this morning. I pray now, Lord, that You'd look upon Your people. And God, that You'd show us great mercy in the house of God this day. And that, Lord, that You would turn aside to visit Your people again in this place. May the Spirit of God reveal today the person of the Lord Jesus to us. May we smell the fragrance of His love. May we taste the goodness of His mercy. May we behold this morning the smile of His lovely face. Help us, I pray, to glorify You and preach the gospel that sinners might be saved. But help us, I pray, to be a blessing to that child this morning, Lord, that is in great need of a kiss from Jesus. And we'll thank You for doing it in His wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I find our thought and our text verse, of course, in verse number 17. That's where we'll be preaching from and closing out this chapter on the Song of Solomon. The Bible said there, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Until the day break and the shadows flee away. I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me, and He'll have to. But I want to try to preach for just a little while this morning on shadows of separation. Those cloudy days in our life when we just don't seem to have the ability to see our Lord as near as we'd like to see Him. Those shadows of events that transpire that would separate us somewhat from our God and cause us many times to have great despondency of heart and despair and to fall in great seasons of discouragement. And somebody said, "Preacher, I don't ever have a problem like that." Well, I'm glad that you're more spiritual than I am, for there are many days in my life, many times in my life, that the clouds of gloom seem to hover over my head, and that cloud of gloom will often separate me from that deep fellowship that the Lord would want me to have. Separate me from that smile that drives all the fear away. Separate me from that countenance that lightens my soul and blesses my heart and puts a spring in my step and allows me to keep on facing, as many said this morning, the idolatry that is in this world and yet go on loving God. And I'll tell you, we cannot wink at idolatry, but we cannot get bogged down in idolatry either. That's right. I'm not going to spend all my time preaching against the Easter Bunny. Now, he needs to be preached against. And Easter egg hunting and Santa Claus and all that mess is idolatry. It's idolatrous worship, no doubt about it. And we need to be warned. And by the way, Benny didn't touch on the real God in Kentucky, the Wildcats. I thought surely he'd mention that. But you know, if many times if we will just magnify grace and preach light, the light that we preach will expose the darkness that is around us. That's right. And I want to try to preach on some light this morning that may expose our sin. And I said expose, but expel the darkness that may be around us this morning. And I know that many of you in our church today, there's situations in your life that causes that that shadow, that dark cloud to creep in over your head, that makes life a heavy load for you to carry, and makes makes life difficult in many ways. But I want to say to you this morning, church, that Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And buddy, you mark her down. The dark clouds may come, but thank God the dark clouds will go. They'll show up in your life, but there'll come an hour when dawn will break and the clouds will flee away. And our Lord will turn again and cause His face to shine upon us. His smile will quickly drive away those dark clouds up from our eyes. And now, I want to say by way of introduction that this verse of Scripture is really kind of difficult to expound because it's difficult to connect it with the other verses of Scripture, either before it or the verse that it's located in. When he closes out verse 16, Solomon simply says, "My beloved is mine, and I'm his, and he feedeth among the lilies." And then all of a sudden, until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away. And then he prays that the Lord would turn again and cause His face to shine upon him. And it's kind of difficult to interpret this verse of Scripture in the context that it's really written in. And in fact, there are at least three different interpretations of what Solomon is saying here. For instance, please notice now in the text, "until the daybreak and the shadows flee away." Now, if these words, church, if they stand connected to the first part of verse 16, which says, "My beloved is mine, and I'm his," then the thought of our text is this: as long as there is daylight, and as long as there is darkness, and God holds His covenant with day and night. For God does have a covenant with day and night. As long as this earth stands, there shall be a day and there shall be a night. And God has His covenant there. And the thought is, as long, my friend, as there's daylight and as long as there is dark, we can rest assured that Christ is ours. Our beloved is ours, and that our union with Him, God help my throat now, pray for me, and that our union with Him cannot in no way be broken. Oh yes, He is ours until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. I want to say this morning by way of introduction, if God will help me, that I'm glad, thank God, that on September the 13th, 1970, I was saved by the good grace of God. Oh yes, and entered into a covenant relationship with my Lord. He is mine, and I am His. And as long as the sun comes up, and the sun goes down, there is not one thing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I have a union with Him, a covenant relationship with Him. He is mine and I am His, and it's been sealed by the blood of the everlasting covenant of Almighty God. Bless His wonderful name. I wish our Armenian friends would get a hold of that. Oh yeah, that cherish the idea that what God has done can be taken away from a saint. But I'm glad, thank God, that there is no man or no power that can pluck us out of our Father's hand. We have, my friend, a solid foundation that cannot be shaken, because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and the seal of the Holy Ghost is upon us. My beloved is mine and I am His until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Hallelujah to God. Now another thought is, if these words stand connected with the latter part of verse number 16, He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak. They are expressive of a continual presence of Christ in the church until His second coming, when that everlasting day will break and all the shadows will finally flee away. My friend, we may walk in a dark hour now, and there may be a cloud over our head today. Son, we may find ourselves broken in spirit, crushed in our heart, and feel like the sun will never shine again. Feel like Jesus is lied, the Bible is untrue, and Christ will never return. And that's what the devil wants you to believe. Oh yeah, if he can get you believing that Jesus has lied to you about His presence in the house of God and about His return to call us out of this place, I'll assure you, my friend, He can discourage you and deprive you of the richest blessings in Christ. But hallelujah to God, He feedeth among the lilies. And He said in verse 2 of this chapter that we are like the lilies among the thorns. He is present in the house of God, feeding with His people in the church house. For how long, Brother Hall? Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. It may be a dark hour, but honey, open up your spiritual mouth and get a big bite of grace, for He's still here, feeding among the lilies. Still here, feeding among the lilies. But I don't believe that's exactly what this verse is saying. No, I believe that rightly dividing these verses, that they stand connected in the verse that they're written in with the latter part of that verse. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a hart upon the mountains of Ether. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, turn, thou my beloved, and be like a young hart or a roe upon the mountains of Bether. In other words, my friend, when we're living under that dark shadow, it should be the prayer of the church that He would turn and not do it slowly, but do it speedily. For a roe and a young hart are animals of quickness and speed. And what Solomon is saying here, when that dark shadow of despondency and despair hangs over your personal head or over the head of the church, it should be our prayer for Him to turn and do it quickly, that the shadows might flee away and that the sun might shine one more time in the hearts of God's people. Are you there this morning? I hope so. Now, I looked up the word shadows, and some of y'all is living there. I was praying in that bedroom this morning. And I got to looking down each one of these three aisles, three rows of pews. And I did not find a family. Not one family. Not one individual that did not have some kind of a shadow looming over your head. And it is imperative for us that He turn. And the shadows will never dispel until He turns and causes His sun to shine fully overhead where no shadows will ever be or ever occur. And I looked up and down these rows and every family, and I'll not take time to mention them, friend, because you know where they are. Every member of this church knows where your problem's at, where your trouble lies. Just like Benny this morning said, God so spoke to his heart about idolatry and the little things that he had put before God that was depriving him of the blessings of God. I'm telling you, my friend, if you be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, you will not have to tarry long in prayer until God will show you where your dark cloud is hanging. Every person in here, every family, I pray for you this morning, for that dark cloud that I know for a fact hanging over your head. Until the daybreak and the shadows. I see you, Lord. I see you, Lord. But it's like a shadow. It's like I'm looking through a glass darkly. I'm not seeing you face to face. There, for some reason, there is a murky cloud that stands between me and you. I'd love to see you better, Lord, but for some reason the shadow has overcast and you're standing on one side of the shadow. I'm on the other side of the shadow. And it's difficult, Lord, for me to see you and everything that's going on. It's difficult, Lord, for me to find you in life, what you're doing in my life. Right now, what is taking place in my life right now? Why has this thing befallen me? Why am I walking through this particular time in my life that has so broken my spirit and brought me to a place of despondency and despair? Why, oh God, I've tried to follow you and live for you and pray to you and worship you. Why has the cloud settled in over my head like it has? I looked up that word shadow in a Strong's, and I also looked it up in an old Noah Webster 1828. Now listen carefully. One of the definitions of a shadow is an inseparable companion. As long as the sun is shining on you, you're going to cast a shadow. Oh, yes, it is an inseparable companion. And that's not too bad there. But where the problem comes in, church, is where you allow that shadow in your life to tarry with you beyond the time appointed of God for it to be there. Maybe that the reason you're still bearing that shadow is that you have not prayed the prayer that Solomon did until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn thou, O God, like a young hart, or a roe like the mountains of Bether, and cause the shadow to flee away out of my life. I feel God. I feel God. I really do. I feel like somebody here needs some help today. Huh? An inseparable companion. If you ain't careful, that thing will attach itself to you and it will drive you buggy, friend. It'll drive you up the yum-yum tree. It'll cause you to lose sleep at night. That's right. You'll go to bed thinking about it. You'll wake up in the morning thinking about it. It'll attach itself to you like a leech sucking blood. And you will not be able to get away from that thing. It'll be an inseparable companion, son. It'll latch on to you in such a way. Thank you for praying from a throat. Somebody needs to pray some more for it. But that thing will latch itself to you like a blood-sucking leech. And friend, it'll go with you everywhere you go. It'll go to bed with you at night. You'll get up with it in the morning. You'll carry it off to work, or you'll carry it around every day in your work chores if you're a lady around the house. Whatever you're doing, I'm going to tell you what, it'll be like a bad dog. If you'll run him off, he'll be like a bad dog and come back if you're not careful. He'll be an inseparable companion to you. That thing also means obscurity or deprivation of light. Just a shadow. I mean, you're deprived of all the light that God wants you to have. It says it's caused by some object which intercepts rays of light. Now, I'm telling you, there is some object in some of your lives that have, my friend, obstructed the light of the Lord Jesus in your life. And like a shadow, that thing hangs over your head. And because it's there, Christ's light, the glorious light of the love of God, cannot shine in your heart the way God wants it in your heart, and it deprives you of the joy and the happiness and the bliss of the salvation God's provided for you. Somehow, some of you have to get over that. I want to say also that that shadow, is a shade within defined limits. Did you know that shadow cannot get any further? It cannot grow any bigger than the object that is between you and the sun. No bigger. It's like a tree. A shadow cannot get any bigger than a tree. A shadow cannot get any bigger. Your shadow cannot get any bigger than what you are. Never. It just cannot be. And the higher and the brighter the sun shines, the smaller the shadow grows and the less that object of a shadow it puts off. Now I'm telling you, my friend, we have so let some things in our life obstruct us from the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, amen, that we've got His light shining in on us in an angle, and we're experiencing the full load of the shadow. My God, if we pray, turn, oh God, like the rose and the hearts on the mountains of Ether. Turn! Cause your sun to stand at high noon and cause this shadow of despondency to flee away out of my life. God help us. We got a pretty good spirit this morning. But most times we act like our mother-in-law moved in to stay. Our faces look like Missouri mules chewing on saw briars. Huh? We look like we've sucked a lemon, bless God, until we ain't nothing left in it to suck around on. That's right. There's one fella got up there in the meeting at Brother Whitlow's. Brother Ricky told me it was that way every time he got up to testify. All he could do is talk about how bad he had it. Oh, my God, I'm bad this. And he was crippled, badly crippled. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend, I sympathize with him. But I'm here to tell you, so was Mephibosheth. But when God arrested Mephibosheth, though, and brought him to the king's house in a chair, son, he didn't worry about them crippled little feet. He had found a place at the table of the king and was dining with royalty, my friend. Son, we come to the house of God this morning, for our Lord feedeth among the lilies with His people. We are dining with royalty in the house of God. Friend, we've got a king and a Lord in our presence today. Son, let us rejoice. Oh, yes, sir. Psalmist said about Calvary, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, yes, His servants shout and rejoice because the devils were subject unto Him. Jesus said, hey, don't rejoice in that. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah to God. Written down in the Lamb's book of life over yonder in glory. And we can rejoice even when the shadows overcast us. We can rejoice knowing there's coming an hour when the day of grace and the shadows will flee away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a little tired. Praise God. Huh? A little tired, but God's a helping. Now, what about these shadows? What are some of these shadows? Now, don't back off and leave me now, okay? What are some of these shadows? May I say that we can live under the shadow of a complacent spirit. We can just get complacent, friend. I'm talking about satisfied right where we're sitting. And that thing can become a shadow, a barrier between us and God. I have never seen so many Baptists that are dead satisfied with knowing what little dab they know about God. And son, I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where God gives us permission or authority to attain to any certain spiritual level and set down on our tail ends and quit pressing toward that mark for the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, I'm afraid so often when we grow weak and weary, we look for a shadow or a shade and sit down under it. We just sit down under it. Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you where a whole lot of Baptists are at. They're in chapter 3 or chapter 2 and verse number 3. When the bride said, as an apple tree among the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. And she said, I sat down whereat under his shadow with great delight. Now, I'm going to tell you what that tree stands in typology of the cross of Calvary. Don't leave me now. I'm going to tell you where a whole lot of you are at. I'm saved, Lord. I have done made it inside the pearly gates. I've found the apple tree. I've sat out under the apple tree. I've found great delight under the apple tree. And just like a tree that is planted by the waters, I shall not be moved from that place. I've got just a spiritual under that tree is what I want to get. I'm not going to study. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to endeavor to go one step farther with Christ. I know Paul said, leaving the principles and the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. I know Paul said, you're dull of hearing, but I've got good and satisfied and complacent right where I'm at. Why shouldn't I be happy, preacher? Everything is kind of all right in the house. I mean, the family's doing pretty good right now. The kids are all under subjection, and we're all going to the house of God. And I know about Calvary. I've been redeemed, but I'm telling you, my friend, the shadow of complacency has set in on some of you. And son, you made up your mind you ain't going a bit further with God. Not a bit. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You sit down, and it can be a dangerous thing. You know, old Elijah went and sat down under a juniper tree. And God tried with bread, and God tried with water to bestir his soul to get him on the move. And he ran, and rather than going for God, he hid himself in a cave. I'm going to tell you it's dangerous. And I'm going to tell you why it's dangerous right here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat. No. Do what? Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to tell you what some of you do, what Baptists do. They'll sit down and listen to some old mossy back, reprobate, backslidden church member tug and pull on their ear and sit right down in the seat of the scornful and say, well, that he must evidently be right. I'm going to tell you what I'd do, buddy. I'd rid myself. I don't know why I'm there, but I'm there, and I'd rid myself of that crowd. I'm going to tell you what, friend. I don't care if it is your mommy and daddy. And you have, and they are, buddy, they're not serving God. They're not walking with God. They're not living with for God. And you sit down in their presence and hang around them all the time and lay around them all the time. I'm going to tell you what, friend, that complacent spirit they got will become the complacent spirit that you have. And you will not go one step further in the doctrines of grace. Oh my God, we ought to be ever pressing on to higher ground. Oh yes, I'm afraid we're like this little bride in Song of Solomon 5 and verse number 3. When she heard the voice of her beloved at the door. Oh yes, and she said, I've taken my coat off, gonna put it on. I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? You know what she said. I've got satisfied where I'm at. I'm comfortable. Don't bother me. Do not disturb me. I'm comfortable right where I'm at. Got a lost and dying world going to hell. And we've gotten so complacent on God that we've refused to go any further. I want to say secondly, and I'm just hurrying through this because I'm serious. I want to get you out on a good time. Not only the shadow of a complacent spirit, but I believe this one will touch home maybe a little deeper. What about the shadow of a calamity of life? Huh? What about that calamity in life, buddy, that seems to creep in like the clouds in the sky on a stormy day? And maybe from a distance you can see the clouds. Some of you have. You've seen the clouds, son, from a distance, but you never dreamed that the wind would blow them in your direction. But you set out in complacency, and sure enough, those clouds, my friend, by the wind have been blown right over where you're living. And they're hanging there, right over your head. Hanging there. Oh, yes, sir. Somebody said, preacher, what kind of a calamity? Well, I'm going to tell you what old Brother David said in Psalm 57. He said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Oh, yes, sir, friend. Calamities of life. Until the daybreak. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn! My beloved, be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Ephraim. While this calamity is in my life. Now, some of you, I'm just being honest with you. Some of you see that calamity coming. You see it on the horizon, but you ain't yet got a hold of that thing. Son, you ain't yet got a hold of that problem that's on the horizon in your life. I know what I'm talking about. Huh? I'm gonna tell you what David's problem was there. Not David, but Job's problem was. Job fell under the attack of Satan, son. We can talk about him losing his money, talk about him losing his family, and all that, but the bottom line of it was that he fell under the attack of a power that was higher and greater than what Job was. Now, I'm going to tell you some of these calamities, I'm talking about things that are distressful, things that throw our life out of kilter and out of balance, things that cause us to have to make a shift in our family life. When my daddy grew old and feeble and had lived at home all of his life, Mama said, Truman, we're going to have to take you to a nursing home. And Daddy said, I want to die right here at the house. I've lived here all these years. I've lived on this hill all of my life in one house or another. But God said, it's enough. There's a dark cloud. There's a calamity. Pop said, I don't know if I can adjust to it or not. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, I'll say this in love. And I hope that, and I'm not picking, but I've sure got Ricky and Kelly on my heart deeply. And it's one thing to look at that little pregnant belly and know that there is a child with that spina bifida in that belly. It's one thing to look off on the horizon and see that cloud. But son, I'm here to tell you, it's another thing to deal with that cloud when that cloud has moved from off down yonder and is now hovering over your bare head. You hear what I'm saying? Praise God. Calamities of life. Shadows. Shadows. Shadows until the day break. But it will break. Those calamities shall not always be there. Old Job lost his family that he had prayed for. He had prayed for him. He had prayed that God would spare him. And yet God took him. So many times the very thing that we pray for, God will do the opposite in our life to prove us and test us. He lost his money. His wife turned on him. He sat down in ashes and scraped his boils. His friends turned on him. He never had a friend in the world. But I'm here to tell you in the last chapter of the book of Job, son, the shadows fled away. Hallelujah to God. And the day star rose one more time. Old Job seen the sun was a-shining. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, that those shadows have a contained area that they're contained to. God brings them, and God brings them to pass. Mark her down and rejoice as sure as the shadow comes, bless our heart, that Jesus will turn like a roar of heart and cause the shadows in our life to flee away. He'll do it. He'll do it, friend. I know He'll do it. Bless His wonderful name. I'm going to tell you, somebody else I thought about when I thought about that calamity, I thought about our dear little girl, Hannah. I thought about Angie. I don't pull no bones. I'm not pulling no punches this morning, son. I feel enough God on me to call names. Enough God in here to tell you. Amen to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That thing's just about God, her. She may not believe it has. But I stand up here every Sunday and every Sunday night and look at her. And I stand up here and look at some of you. Or you may say it's not on the outside. But I'm telling you, my friend, outside countenance don't always tell what's going on the inside. Huh? What a calamity. You know what Hannah wanted to be? Just like every other woman. That's all I want to be, Lord, is to let me be like everybody else is. And why has this calamity overshadowed my life to deprive me of one of the greatest joys of womanhood? But I'm going to tell you, if this is a prayer of the church, when Solomon said, turn, my beloved, turn thou, my beloved. If that's a prayer of the church or the prayer of the saved individual, pleading with Jesus to turn until and cause the daybreak and the shadows to flee away, just as sure as there was a barren womb, bless the Lord, just as sure as there was a barren womb, there was a Samuel! Until the daybreak, and these shadows flee away. The shadow of a complacent spirit, the shadow of a calamity of life. Now I'm here to tell you that calamities will come in your life. They'll come, buddy. They'll creep in like a crawling crud. And you'll make that an inseparable companion that'll live with you and go with you and walk with you everywhere you go. Are you listening to me this morning? What about the shadows of a careless life? Oh, Brother Hall, I'm talking about shadows of separation. Things that will deprive us from the fullness of God in our life. Things that will deprive us of joy, of worship, and joy of coming to the house of God. What about the joy of a careless life? I'm talking about just getting kind of relaxed and complacent. And if you get relaxed and complacent and a calamity comes your way, I'm going to tell you, if you ain't careful, the next thing you're going to do, friend, you're going to be living just a little carelessly. You know one fellow that come to my mind? A fellow by the name of David. Oh, he thought he had her made, friend, and did. He was a king, royalty. Had everything that man could ever have. And he was a man that sought after God's own heart. He was not a spiritual moron. He was a spiritual giant. But I'm going to tell you what happened in old David's life, buddy. He got just a little careless one day and got to walking around in a rooftop where he ought not to be. He just let that flesh unleash just a little bit and set his eyes upon something that he had no business looking at. Now, I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. It don't always have to be a naked woman bathing herself, buddy. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you something else, friend. Women can get their eyes on the opposite sexo just like men can. And if you ain't right careful, you'll get careless. And I'm going to tell you one way you will, especially if that man is not the man that he ought to be in the household. Or that woman does not fulfill her obligations like she ought to in that household. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Just get careless. Start setting your eyes. Start looking at women. Be a stargazer, son. Slick, son. You think the devil is not slick? I'm going to tell you how slick he is. Brother Whitlow and I was in a music store, a Christian music store, and a Christian bookstore combined in Henderson, North Carolina on Friday of this week. He was looking at some keyboards, and we got to looking at some books, and he just picked up one of the books off the shelf now. Just randomly opened it up and said, "My God." And I said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" He said, "You ain't going to believe this." And he opened that paper back up, and there was a pornographic picture, friend. I'm talking about parts of the body of a man that ought never to be displayed nowhere, much less in a book in a Christian bookstore.
Man.
Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, you just get careless. Just get away from God. Hey, stop praying and reading your Bible and worshiping God and sit on the pew like a knot on a log and start living a careless life, friend. And I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll start looking at some of that trash. Oh, you wouldn't think of it around the home where your wife's at, but you get out away from your wife with a bunch of other sorry devils, my friend, that don't give a flip for God, and they start laughing and telling jokes, and you bend your ear to that mess and start looking, listening to that mess, it won't be long till you'll start looking at that mess. Yeah, amen. I done found the hole, son. I'm going to throw a little more smoke in that one. Yes, sir. But you can say what you want to say, but that sex and sports are the sins that doth so easily beset 99% of the Baptist churches in America today. I am sick of sports. Look here. The church that I preached our revival in, are you listening to me now? That I just preached a meeting in. And I'm not criticizing Brother Whitlow. It ain't got a thing doing him. They had a man there that started that church, an old man, a tabernacle graduate by the name of Bill Starnes. He come Friday night and led the choir. And it was as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about the choir from the church he's a member of at Riverside Baptist in Durham, North Carolina. And it was as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what the pastor told me? That man is 69 years old. He is married, 59 years old. He is maybe 60, in his 60s. And he is married to a woman 41 or 42 years old. His first wife, are you listening to me? His first wife is laying in the hospital in Henderson, North Carolina. Won't even let guests in to see her because she is dying with cancer. He left his wife while she was sick, married some 41-year-old heifer, buddy. His children, he deserted his children, won't have, and I don't blame him! If I ever desert Sister Hall when she's down for some stinking rip heifer, I wouldn't want my youngest to spit on me if I was on fire. And that woman laying up there dying. And him and that woman, him up leading the choir of a church, and that woman sitting back there playing the piano for that choir. And he gets down and sits in the pew, and I'm telling you, lo and behold, God led me that night to preach out Psalm 128 on a happy family. And I preached about how those little olive branches are round about your table, and how that wife is a fragile vine, and how you ought to love her and take care of your wife and work, labor for that wife and betroth yourself to her and her only, and likewise man and woman together forever, buddy. I preached it, and that man sat out there and never cracked a smile, but said amen to everything I said. Now, I asked my wife when we left her, I said, what do you think about that man? I can't understand how a man, my friend, that's living in sin, said he used to be a man of God, is a choir director, and can sit on the pew with a woman that he's married to and his wife is dying of cancer in the hospital, and sit there and say amen to everything I said. I asked Sister Hall, I said, what do you think about that man? She said, he's got to be a reprobate. I said, you've been around Bill Nolan a while, buddy. Praise God, I had to say amen to that. I'm going to tell you what, friend, a man that can sit and listen to what I preach Friday night and be living in that kind of a sinful condition, you mark her down, his conscience is seared with a hot iron. He never knew God. He don't know God. He'll never know God. He's a going to hell without God and without any hope. But that's sin. Sin is prevalent in our churches. You get to live in a careless life. Pick up your little magazine. Look at the Kmart periodicals in the mail, fellas. Look at all some of them other little old papers that come in the mail, sales papers. And look at all them little old gals in their panties and their bras and all that. See how amen. See if your old carnal, filthy, nasty mind don't get to running in the wrong direction. You listen to what I'm saying, son. I'm talking about a careless life. Buddy, you'll find a cloud setting in over your head. Your family will dry up by the roots. Your Christian life will dry up by the roots. And it won't be long that you'll be like David. You'll be up on the housetop, bless God, creeping around, seeing what your eyes can look at. Cloud of a careless life. I'm going to tell you somebody else that got careless in his life. Fellow by the name of Lot, and he looked off yonder at the well-watered plains of the Jordan Valley, and he said, my God, I believe this would be a fine, fine place for me to raise my cattle and make my living, and I'll make bunches of money. Old foolish Lot can live up here wherever he wants to live, but I'm going down there where the money's at. And rather than follow God, he followed his fleshly desires and his fleshly mind, and they carried him into a flaming inferno full of sodomites and queers to try to raise his family. And now, buddy, you go ahead and follow that if you ain't careful, son. Some of you sitting right in this room, if you ain't careful, you are going to lead your family right down into the same stinking, whoremongering, sodomite, queer-loving mess that Lot led his family into. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He followed his fleshly desire and he failed to build an altar. You'll never find any place in the Bible where he ever built an altar. No place. While old Abraham was up yonder on an altar before God, Lot was down there in the well-watered plains of the Jordan Valley trying to raise sheep and cows. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something, buddy. Benny cleaned my plow in Sunday school this morning. He cleaned my plow, buddy, on idolatry. I'm telling you what, buddy, it's a whole lot closer to home than some little old fixture hanging on the wall. Or a little old image that somebody bows down to over in China or somewhere. It's a whole lot closer to home than that, buddy. I'm telling you, it is. Are you listening to me, son? Failed to build an altar and get a hold of God. And if some of you in here don't learn to pray, your life is so careless, you don't even have a prayer life. Some of you in here have already let your whoremongering ways drive you from the house of God into a life of sin. And you ain't got enough sense to realize that there is a cloud as dark as hell hanging over your head that you're going to have to flee from, my friend, because I'm not sure that you've ever been to Calvary and been saved. What bothers me is some of you, just like that old man, you hear it, but you don't hear a stinking thing anybody says to you. I watched Brother Whitlow's son stand. Behind a pew back in the back with a little girl off to his left. And his eyes as red as blood. Convicted as deep as life. Living, shacking up. I remember that little old boy. Are you listening to me? The first time I laid eyes on that little boy, he was 7. No, let's say 6 years old. And he's 24 years old today and shacking up with a little old girl. Are you listening to me? Son, I'm telling you, it's sad, folks. And sat there in his sin and will not move. I'm telling you, that invitation on Thursday night lasted for a good 45 minutes, and I've never been so pulled apart in my soul in a church service for sinners to be saved in mine. I've been preaching now since 1982, and I have never been so distraught and so burdened and broken as I was in that service for people to be saved. Never. Never. Maybe outside of one time when I was about Brother Sammy Atlas. I forgot about that. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, would not move. Some girl in that service sitting about 3 rows back, a 25-year-old woman, threw her hands up in the air and said, "No!" Headed to the back of that church as hard as she could go. I got home. I asked my wife, I said, "What will it take for people to hear?" I'm going to tell you where we're at, my friend. We're living in a time when there is a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. They hear with their ears, but people do not understand no more. And us Baptists, oh, I'm saved, you know, and because once saved, always saved. I remember when I was a little 12-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy, 14-year-old boy, 15-year-old girl. I remember when I got down there on the altar and made that little old flimsy profession of faith. I'm not asking you if you made a profession of faith, son. I'm asking you, did you get born again? Do you know God? Have you been redeemed? Son, there's a black cloud hanging over some of you. You better pray that God will take mercy and turn Himself and do it speedily before God decides to turn you over to a reprobate mind where you'll spend eternity in hell without God. Like I started to say, Brother Wayne, and I am a Baptist, but we've had the folks on the back and told them they made a little profession, and they don't have to worry. You can just live any way you want to live. You got saved, you know. You got saved. I mean, you can whoremong, commit adultery and drink and cuss, make verbal threats, threaten to kill people. You can beat down mailboxes, preachers' mailboxes. You can write letters and tell preachers you're going to blow them into vapor, son, and be saved these days. Didn't y'all know that? There's only one problem with that, son. Somebody didn't get in. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Somebody missed the gate, buddy. They overshot the gate. And I said, I thought you was preaching on dark shadows. I'm preaching what God's telling me to preach. I'm telling you, friend, it's either make it or break it. It's either get her in and get her on, son. Time is running out. Amen to God. It's like Benny said in Sunday school, it's time to tighten this thing down, son, and throw up the white flag Murray said, Andrew Murray. Absolute surrender! Here am I, God, and all that I have belongs to you. That's our old Lot and his family wound up committing incest with his 2 girls, and part of his family died burning like they burn in hell for him in the Sodom and Gomorrah, in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he got careless. Just drifted a little bit. Now I'm going to close with this. I'm going to tell you another thing, another shadow, but it can creep in over your head and creep in over my head and everybody else's head. And that's a cold, callous. Let me ask you something. And by the way, look here. Now listen to me. There is no spiritual level on complacency. you can be at the cross and get complacent. You can be saved 6 months and get complacent and stay there. You can be saved 5 years and get complacent and stay there. You can be saved 10 years and grow in grace 10 years and get satisfied right there and stay there. You know why? I'm going to tell you. And if you do, your heart will get cold. And I'm going to tell you why. Lord, serving God sure is tough these hot, weary days of Christianity. Iniquities abound, the love of God in many have waxed cold. That's what the book says. Lord, I'm weary and well-doing. I've just done and worked my fingers to a bow. I'm tired. I've borne the heat of the day. I'm weary. I know what I'm going to do. Praise God. Look at that tree. And that nice big, oh, I think I'll just sit down under its shadow. Well, why? What are you doing under the shade of that tree? I'm looking for something to cool me. I'm looking for a shade that'll cool me off and I can get comfortable there. I'm just going to sit down here a while. I remember when I was a young boy, didn't have my driver's license. And I worked at Scottsburg Cemetery for 75 cents an hour, mowing grass every summer and moving dirt that they dug the graves and in the winter. And back then, they dug them with a shovel. And they just left the dirt laying. And I'd haul it off a little old tractor and stuff. But along about August, when I'd worked all summer long, pushing that old lawn boy, mowing them same old cat. I mean, over and over, that cemetery, over and over, had to be mowed every week. Same old place, over and over and over, doing the same old thing, saying the same old prayer, preacher, singing the same old song, and rising, saying the same old prayer, and listening to the choir, singing the same old songs, and isn't it? I've just been doing this and doing this, and I'm tired, and I'm just going to sit down here under this tree. I'm hot and weary and worn, and I'm going to relax. You've done got cold, friend. You've done got cold. Oh, your nose is colder than a hound dog's nose in January. I'm going to tell you what. Until the daybreak and its shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, like the rose. On the mountains of ether. Turns. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hannah had a dark hour, lived under a gloomy shadow, but the day dawned for Hannah. Job lived under a dark shadow, but the day dawned for Job. David, what about David's dark shadow? Somebody said, oh, you already talked about his careless life. I'm talking about his dark shadow now. You see, what his careless life did was brought him a little boy. And a man by the name of Nathan said, David, said, you're guilty of sin, and I'm going to take that little boy. And David fell on his face in the earth, sackcloth and ashes, and prayed and begged God. Until his own servant said, what's wrong with our master? The little boy died. And Solomon got up and anointed himself. And they said, I don't understand this. While the boy was a-living, he wept and fasted and prayed and laid himself upon the earth and fasted and prayed. But the boy dies and he rejoices. What manner of doctrine in life is this? David said, the shadow has fled away. I cannot bring him back, but I've got a feeling in my heart, and I'm just writing this in. I believe David said, I got a feeling in my heart that there's a Solomon on the way. There's a Solomon on the way. You listen to me, church. I'm going to tell you what, friend. Those days of gloom and despair are bound to come. But thank God, friend, there's a Solomon on the way. There's a better day dawning. There's a better day dawning. I'm just being honest. It may not dawn until the rapture of the church. But I know that it's going to dawn. It's coming our way. Amen. It's coming our way. Amen. Shadows of separation.
what has got you seeing Jesus this morning through a glass darkly? What is your shadow? I see him. There's such a shadow.
And I can't get to it! But I'll tell you what I can do. Turn. It's like he's got his back. I can show you three places, at least three places in the Psalms where David said, turn, 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 turn. There's one of them in Psalm 69. Turn, turn. Don't hide your face from me. Turn, 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 turn.
Amen.
If he'll ever turn. Well, look here. Here's a thought. That shadow is his hinder parts. Turn. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, when he turns in the love light of his smile, expels that shadow. When he turns, listen now, when he turns, draw nigh to God, you, for God then will draw nigh to you if you'll turn. If he turns, and you'll draw. Now, and look here. Listen to me now. Listen. God's ahead of me now. God's ahead of me. Every time he turns and you draw closer, the next shadow that comes your way, you know what? It's a little smaller. And a little smaller. God, it ain't you, Brother Mark. It's a little smaller and a little smaller. And I'm going to tell you, the smaller the shadows get, the more joy you have, and the smaller the shadows get, my friend. It's a shadow, but it's a smaller shadow. You know why? You've done got up and got to moving out of that complacent spirit, and you've moved closer to Jesus. Until finally, he'll say, come up hither.
Amen.
You'll take that last step, and you'll shake hands with the Savior.
Amen.
What is that old song? Don't give up now. Just keep on going. Some things will work out or something somehow. Don't give up now. Just keep on going. I wish I knew the word to it. Da da dee da da dee da da da. And the next step you take, and the next hand you shake, may be the hand of the Savior. And the next step you take may be on streets of purest gold. And the next meal may be the marriage supper. And the next something touch you feel, he may be blessing your soul. Thank God that he'll not always chide, but he will turn and the shadows will flee away. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your help. Thank you for the grace. How about it in your life today? Is there a cloud? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege. A little bit out of thy word. Try to be a blessing to your people. I do pray that your Spirit would speak to every heart in this hour. And Lord, that you'd heal every heart, bind up every wound. God, give grace to every soul. Caress every heart. Save every old sinner. Meet every need. Satisfy the longings of every soul. And glorify the Lord Jesus, precious Spirit of God. Breathe on him that his fragrance may fill this place today. That sinner and saint alike may know that there's a balm in Gilead, a sympathizer in Zion. There is one at the right hand of God that longs to cause the shadows to flee away by turning his face to shine upon us. Give grace to every heart, victory in every soul. Fill us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. knowing, Lord, that someday we shall behold the glory of God, behold Thy person face to face. What a joy that's going to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. I want to worship You and praise You and bless Your wonderful name for being good to me. Thank You again for the day. In Jesus' name, do a work. We'll praise You for it. Amen and amen. While the piano plays, what are we going to sing, Brother George? 295. Who at my door is standing? What about your shadow this morning? Is it a family problem? Finances? Complacency? A little careless living? Cold in your heart? Oh, I used to read the Bible and pray, Brother Hall. I used to read it. Love it. While we sang this, why don't you come on this morning? I used to be faithful in the house of God, preacher. I used to be there every time the doors were open. I used to sing in the choir. I used to run the aisles. I used to shout. What is it today? As we sang, Brother George, who at my door is standing? He's knocking today. Do you hear him? God today, are you here and lost? Are you here and lost? Is there a calamity in your life? Has coldness set in? I'm going to tell you where my heart is this morning. It's right here with some of these young people. Right here with some of these young people. I'll just be honest with you, friend. I don't put a bit of confidence on 4, 5, and 6-year-old professions of faith. I wouldn't give you a dime a carload for them. I believe folks ought to be old enough to understand sin. And the fact that their sin has offended God. But I'm going to tell you something, young folk, young person. There's some of you in this room right now. If you've got a darker cloud hanging over your head, I mean, I can see it. I can see it. Don't throw your life away. Don't be so ignorant to believe the devil's devices and throw your life away down the tube. Ah, oh, preacher, I've got plenty of time. I'm sure there have been a lot of young people thought that. Some of them never made it home from church until they realized their time had expired. And I'm going to tell you the sad part of it is some of the parents. I didn't say all of them. But some of the parents don't see the urgency of getting that child to God. Now, some of you do. I didn't say you didn't. And some of you that do, they ain't got there yet.
But I believe that cloud, one of these days, He'll turn. He'll turn. If you'll stay right with God and seek God, He'll turn and those shadows will flee away. And you'll see that little child say, but I'm going to tell you what. Buddy, you take a parent that's not a praying for their kids. They're not faithful in the house of God. They don't keep them in the house of God. What you're doing, you're letting that child know that church is not that important. Serving God's not that important. It's just not that important. There's other things that's more important than God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. There ain't a thing in this life more important than God. Not one thing. Not one thing. He's got the keys. Hell and death. Right there. Now, you tell me anything any more important than life. I'm talking about life, friend. I'm talking about living. And I'll eat your head. I'll even eat one of these Easter bonnets after service this morning. Keys of hell and death. He does. What's any more important than that? Death comes. Hell's right behind it. As Charles Spurgeon said, there's no golden key back here that'll unlock those two dungeon doors. Once death comes, the knobs turn, friend. And hell is there to swallow up death for all eternity. What about it today? What about it? Mama, daddy, grandpa, grandma, son, daughter. You got her settled this morning? I mean, I'm talking about nailed down, nailed down, nailed down. I've got a bigger burden in my heart right now to see people saved than I've ever had in my ministry. And I've been preaching 18 years, going on 19 years. I think I've been preaching long enough that I can see some things in people that trouble me. While she plays through that one more time, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. In the silence of this invitation, if you're here without God, why don't you slip out of that pew? Come right on to an old-fashioned altar. Don't nobody need to beg you or plead you. You don't need nothing but God prompting you. Play it, Sister Holly. Come right on. Lord Jesus, help us. There are sinners in this room today that are without God. Help us. While she plays now, you can come right on. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Whose is the voice I hear? God bless your heart for being here today.